I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today you'll hear the second part of the audio from the movie 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. And then I'll tell you about a very provocative new book on 9/11 that just came out. So first, let's go to Experts Speak Out, which was the film produced by Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. There are, as of this recording, 1,947 architects and engineers who are demanding a new investigation into the events of 9/11. They say that the government version of events, which, by the way, is a conspiracy theory, they say that the science is fraudulent and defies the laws of physics. Today you'll hear many of those architects and engineers expressing their opinions in this second part of the audio from the film 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, or more commonly referred to as just Experts Speak Out. If you missed the first part, you can listen to it by going to the website radioforall.net, and that's the digit four, so radioforall.net. And if you click on contributors and then look for Cheryl under the C's, the shows will pop up. So let's begin with the second installment of Experts Speak Out.
As reported by the New York Times, engineers were baffled by the collapse of Building 7. Since no steel frame high-rise has ever completely collapsed due to fire, how are we to understand this mysterious event?
My name is Scott Granger. I'm a licensed fire protection engineer. I'm licensed in 13 states. I've been in private practice for 25 years. I've been a practicing engineer for 39 years. 50% of my practice is in forensic engineering. Steel structural frame buildings, high-rise buildings, simply do not collapse due to fire. There has never been, until 9/11, an experience where a high-rise building that was steel frame completely collapsed. There have been fires burned longer in similar structures without any collapse.
In my previous career as a firefighter, normally you'd never be afraid to go into a type 1 building because they're not combustible and you would just charge at it and put the fire out. Never in my training were we ever taught that these type of buildings could just collapse in on themselves. There's definitely much more going on than just fire.
The way in which steel-framed buildings behave in fires depends on their construction. In this test, done by British Steel in 1995, a large amount of typical office furniture was burned to see what would happen to the heavy steel beams that supported the ceiling.
When steel is bare, when it heats up, it gets weaker. It's not that it melts in a fire. In fact, the fires, normal fires, are not hot enough to melt steel. Even if you were, for example, to use an unusual fuel like kerosene, you cannot achieve temperatures hot enough to melt steel. But what happens is it starts to lose its strength. And as it loses its strength, it starts to sag. It becomes softer and sags and can no longer support the load.
This was the largest test of its kind ever conducted. It showed how unprotected steel can be distorted even by a normal office fire. But as is typical in steel buildings, the structural beams only slowly and progressively warped and sagged. There was no chance of a sudden collapse.
In over 20 years, I have not seen, until recently, a protected steel structure that has collapsed in a fire.
The World Trade Center 7 building reminds me of the Meridian Bank building in some ways in Philadelphia. The Meridian Bank building is a 38-story skyscraper that burned for 18 hours in 1991, suffered extensive damage from the fire, but did not collapse.
I am Dan Barnum, FAIA, a graduate architect from Rice University with a Bachelor of Architecture degree. For the 40-plus years that I've been practicing architecture, I have designed a variety of buildings, from small houses to high-rise office buildings. Some of the high-rises that I've worked on are one shell and two shell here in Houston, and I was project manager for a 22-story office building in Akron, Ohio. I'm a fellow of the American Institute of Architects. I've designed high-rise buildings, and I know what they do in fires because I've studied that. Later in the day, when the World Trade Center 7 collapsed, they had already showed us pictures of a few fires in that building, and I mean, they weren't even raging. And how could that cause a building to collapse as if it were imploded? Couldn't happen.
My name is Jonathan Smolens, PE. I'm a professional structural engineer in the Boulder, Denver area for the past 12 years. And one of my specialties is forensic engineering, including evaluation of structures post-disaster. What happened to those columns to all collapse at the same time? The explanation provided does not match the evidence that we have.
My name is Michael Donnelly, PE. I'm a structural engineer with 14 years of experience. I get involved mostly with the design of steel-framed fireproof buildings. We've never had a steel-framed skyscraper collapse in the United States or internationally, so there's no precedent. I don't think Building 7 could have collapsed by fire, as NIST tells us that this collapse mechanism, starting with thermal expansion that worked its way upward and outward through the building, in a matter of seconds, there's not enough time for the building to collapse the way that NIST tells us it collapsed.
I'm Ed Moniak, licensed fire protection engineer for at least 25 years, and I work for a number of organizations, city, federal, large insurance companies, consultant, always in the area of fire safety, and with the goal of keeping the public safe and first responders safe. I became fascinated with the government's version of the events on 9/11, because this is totally contrary to everything that I've ever experienced, either working in the field of fire safety or knowing what I know about mechanical engineering. It defies many fundamentals of mechanics and materials and physics and just many fundamental engineering concepts.
World Trade Center 7, NIST claims the fires were very large, very hot, and long-lasting, when in reality, observation, which has been researched by many people, shows these fires did not last very long. They were not in the locations where NIST claims they were at given times.
According to lead investigator Shyam Sunder of the National Institute for Standards and Technology, NIST, World Trade Center 7 collapsed at freefall acceleration for more than 100 feet of its fall. What does the speed of the collapse reveal to us?
Essentially, in less than 7 seconds, Tower 7 came down upon itself.
Building 7, the NIST reports admits, fell at the rate of gravity for the first 100 feet. Well, that's impossible unless there's nothing resisting it.
It's just like taking your car keys out and just dropping them. That's how fast the building came down, for over 100 feet. And the only way you can get that is when there's zero resistance. And so what we're looking at is a building just coming straight down, falling right through itself with zero resistance. Buildings don't have zero resistance, which is why you feel comfortable walking into a building.
A building cannot do free fall with a huge steel structural system in place to support it without it being blown up. That's the only way it could come down at free fall.
The failure of all these connections as the primary means of structural failure is inconsistent with a natural gravitational collapse, and indicates the presence of other agents which would dismember these connections.
I'm David Chandler. I have a bachelor's degree in physics from Harvey Mudd College, and a master's in education from Claremont Graduate University, and another master's in mathematics from California Polytechnic University. I've been teaching for over 30 years. I'd heard people say, well, it came down at free fall or close to free fall and so forth, so I decided I'd measure it myself. I have a tool that I use in teaching, which allowed me to take a video and put a dot on each frame to follow the motion of things. And so you can measure speeds and accelerations, and it'll do the analysis. One of the fundamental laws of nature is the conservation of energy. In order for it to be falling down with zero resistance, it means that resistance had to have been removed by something else.
And NIST claims that the columns were buckling in the first several seconds before the free fall occurred. Now, I don't see that how that's possible.
And in the final report, they modified it, they tried to doctor it up. They still tried to say that it was essentially correct, but then they modified it and they actually admitted there was a period of free fall involved. But they never changed their model. Like, how do you all of a sudden allow for free fall when they just got done explaining how it couldn't have been in free fall? If I were a scientist, I'd be embarrassed to try to put forward something like that. It was clearly a fraudulent argument.
In other words, NIST is telling us that the building below it ceased to exist for the first few seconds of the collapse of the building. Well, things in physics just don't cease to exist and cease to resist the forces that are on them.
Free falling for 8 stories. So, we know that happened. Okay, it's been measured and it's on videos. Everyone can see it. NIST has admitted it went into free fall for 8 stories. That's a bothersome part of the puzzle because NIST never explained it.
Absolutely no resistance to the descent whatsoever.
The building didn't disappear so the building can fall for 100 feet at free fall speed. That's impossible. That's a violation of the fundamental law of physics that says that for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. So that evidence alone would indicate that the official story doesn't hold water.
There was no time for this elastic deformation and plastic deformation, which would have absorbed energy and decreased the descent to less than free fall speed. As energy is drained away from the system to deform those members, it would slow down the descending mass and cause a descent at less than free fall speed.
40,000 tons of structural steel in its structural system, and that is intended to keep it from going anywhere. A building cannot do free fall with a huge steel structural system in place to support it.
There's no resistance until the building gets down maybe halfway.
Buildings tend to be delayed as they collapse. They don't just pancake down like this in a very short period of time.
If the pancake theory works, it's going to hit hesitation, and there was no hesitation.
Going from motionless to free fall instantly.
One continuous motion. There couldn't have been any structural resistance.
Buildings just don't behave like that. If floors fall, they tend to fall and are braced by the floor directly beneath it. And there's some delay there.
This is inconsistent with the energy redistribution that would be required from the descending mass to the remaining structure.
Completely impossible. And this themselves have to recognize the implications of this. The fact that they haven't is fraudulent.
The connections are designed with a safety factor of 1.5 to 3 times the failure load for the member. So this assures that the member will always fail first in an elastic mode and then a plastic mode.
Ideally, the member would fail before the connection. You don't want the connections to fail first.
The connections failed first without any of the members exhibiting large deformations or deflections. Over 400 connections per second had to fail in order for the members to be released and for the structure to descend at almost free fall rate.
To fail at the rate that they did progressively across the building, even if a floor were to collapse, it still wouldn't be able to collapse all of the connections simultaneously at the rate that it did without secondary explosion.
There's no hesitation. There was no hesitation when it was to hit story after story.
If you were to look at a standard moment frame steel connection, which is a welded connection between the beam and the column, it would take on the order of around 500,000 pounds to shear off one connection. And if you multiply that by 400, put maybe a safety factor of 4, you would require 50 million pounds of force per second in order to collapse the building the way it was shown based on the NIST report and what we saw on the video evidence of the video of the building that day. It's highly unlikely. Don't know how that could ever happen without secondary explosions. It's not logical or reasonable.
The fact that it's coming down at free fall says all of the energy is being used to just make it go straight down, which means it's coming down through itself and not breaking up the building as it goes. Something else has to be clearing the way. And that is smoking gun evidence to me. I think that's one of the primary pieces of evidence that these buildings really were demolished. They weren't just accidents that happened.
We might anticipate that an unevenly damaged building would fall over. Yet, videos of the collapse of Building 7 show a fairly symmetrical fall. How do we make sense of this?
The exterior of the building comes down fully, symmetrically, and at one time. Both sides of the building come down completely. This is fully indicative of full structural support being removed for at least 6 stories. That could not happen by fire.
If there was some fire in one corner, it would have collapsed maybe in that corner, but not the total building free-falling.
Got that corner is going to want to topple over, but we didn't see that. We saw it come straight down.
If the buildings had come down by fire, we would have seen a more natural progression of collapse. We may have seen, the buildings actually topple over to one side, certainly not coming down in its own footprint.
And clearly, a more asymmetrical pattern should have been present.
I'm Kathy McGrade. I have a bachelor's in metallurgical engineering from New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology, which I got in 1979. I then spent the next 30 years with 3 startup companies. The symmetry is the smoking gun. It cannot happen that when you have asymmetric damage, you will get a perfectly symmetrical collapse.
It would not have been a uniform collapse. The building might have partially fallen over, but the building would not have collapsed as it did. This doesn't make any logical sense.
For it to come down straight down upon itself, you would need to basically take out the supports at the center, at the core.
The exterior columns on the outside, as well as on the inside, at the bottom would have to be severed almost at the same time.
In my professional opinion, in my experience, for World Trade Center 7 to collapse straight down upon itself, as video indicates, as everything that we've witnessed, the supports at the center essentially all had to be taken out at once.
Well, that's another indicator that this report is very suspect, because I would have expected in a classic implosion, as I've seen numerous times, is the core to fail. My name's Tom Sullivan. I worked for Controlled Demolition Incorporated, CDI, the top-rated explosives demolition firm in the world. As an explosives loader, my job was to place explosives in the buildings to prepare them for demolition. I was licensed while in New York by the New York Fire Department to handle explosives. And I worked on major projects such as Seattle Kingdome, the Three River Stadium, Philadelphia Naval Hospital, and Key Span gas holders in New York. I would expect the center of the building to start moving first, and then as the implosion progresses, then the sides come in, then the rest of the building is involved. What I saw, it was a classic implosion. The center of the core, the penthouse area, starts to move first, and then the building follows along with it.
There were so many columns in the building that were not affected by either the fires or the impact damage, and they all came down just at once. So it's a little disheartening, and it's implausible.
When it's all finished, the outside walls from the lower floors are piled one on top of the other right in the middle of the building, just like a house of cards if it were coming down.
Logic tells you that if you have a single failure at some random point in the building, that the entire building is not going to collapse. The collapse would have been a chaotic, random event the building would have partially collapsed, possibly, but it didn't. There was a total collapse, and there's very few things that could explain that, none of which are addressed by the NIST report. According to NIST, the failure occurred at column 79 on level 12. This means, basically, as they're talking about a single columnar collapse or failure that resulted in a total collapse of the building. That just does not make any sense.
As a structural engineer, I don't believe that the failure of one column would normally bring down an entire building in the way we saw World Trade Center 7 come down, because of redundancy, because of all the other columns in the building that were not affected.
NIST provided computer animations in support of their fire collapse theory. But what do independent engineers say about these animations?
When you observe the footage of how the building failed, and when you look at the animation of the failure, and compare that to what you actually observe in reality, I think they disprove their own theories. It is impossible for it to fail the way they said.
I've seen the animation sequence from the National Institute of Standards and Technology for their model, their mathematical model of the collapse of building number 7. And they have the inside members, their one column gave way, which they claim resulted in the collapse of all the surrounding members, and then this precipitated a global collapse.
The NIST computer model, actually, they had done a bunch of finite element models of the connections, individual connections, so they had connections failing before the members failed. Four-part connections, when three of the four parts failed, they considered it to be all failed.
The exterior of the NIST World Trade Center 7 computer simulation model, which they put together to try to explain their theory, shows large, very large deformations which are not observed in the video of the actual event. If they don't attempt to explain this in the report on why their model doesn't represent or replicate reality. What's actually happening with the NIST computer model, it's behaving like a natural collapse would. It would be deforming the exterior of the building if the whole interior was collapsing prior to the exterior. What we're seeing is what would happen in a natural collapse. And what we see on the real video is not a natural collapse.
So I think that the NIST model is flawed. Of course, they won't release all of their parameters that they use to model the collapse, and that is a primary problem for them.
NIST has also repeatedly refused to release computer input data that was requested through the Freedom of Information Act from them in the past concerning World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7.
What do these professionals conclude about the destruction of World Trade Center Building 7?
There had to be some agent that was destroying the connections in Building Number 7 at 400 connections per second, and the only thing that I can see that would be capable of doing this would be explosive devices at the connections. And this is why I think that there has to be a new investigation to find out the real physical causes for all these members to act in an atypical fashion.
And I certainly believe that it had to have been controlled demolition, controlled charges, explosives, something of that type, because it was a sudden failure.
Controlled demolition. There's no way that fire did what they said it did to that building. Impossible. Couldn't happen. It just did not make sense that a building that had a few minor fires in it could possibly succumb the way it did. If there was damage, it would have been minor. There might have been some deflection of a beam or two here or there, but not a total and unequivocal, complete collapse. It just doesn't ring true.
A few fires in that building, and I mean, they weren't even raging. And how could that cause a building to collapse as if it were imploded? Couldn't happen.
To me, it was obvious that there was some controlled demolition and some explosions involved.
When I saw Building 7 fall, it to me appeared to be controlled demolition, because it fell in free fall manner into itself. It is my opinion, as a former 12 Bravo combat engineer, well trained in the use of explosives, that this building, all three buildings, were brought down as a control, as a result of controlled demolitions.
This is the original site of the World Trade Center Twin Towers. Construction is now underway where dramatic new facilities are being erected. Just 10 years ago, the planes hit the towers, cutting through some exterior and interior supporting structural steel columns. The fuel from the planes ignited office fires across several floors. According to the official reports, the structural steel frame was weakened and failed, causing a total progressive collapse of each tower. Does the official explanation make sense? Was there a comprehensive investigation that examined all of the evidence? Let's look at the details.
These buildings were designed to take multiple impacts from airliners.
I walked into the office, and the first words that I heard was, a plane's just run into the World Trade Center. And my initial thought was, well, that's okay. It's built to withstand a 707.
He stated that the fuel would be dumped into the building, but the building would still be there, although most of the fuel blew out the opposite side of the building.
These buildings are built to handle several times the load above them. So those perimeter columns could handle five times the load above them, and the core columns could handle three times the load above them.
The majority of the jet fuel was burnt up instantly in the big fireball, and it was gone. The fires that were left were office furnishings and carpet and things like that. A lot of things in these kind of buildings have to be fire resistant by nature. It's required by code. So there really isn't a whole lot of fuel in there to begin with.
The media portrayed these fires as being extremely hot, but the fires were not that hot in World Trade Center 1 and 2. If you look at the NIST zone data, you could see this. And to use our own powers of observation, you could tell by seeing these fires.
Again, you've just been listening to the second part of the audio from the film 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. Why do you think that the corporate media, and even much of the alternative media, won't tell you anything about these 1,947 and growing architects and engineers who challenged the official story of 9/11 based on the scientific evidence? And now for the new book. Kevin Ryan, who has spoken in Hartford at several of the conferences that the Connecticut 9/11 Truth Group has sponsored, has written a new book called Another 19, Investigating Legitimate 9/11 Suspects. Kevin Ryan is the co-editor of the Journal of 9/11 Studies and a whistleblower from Underwriters Laboratories. He has contributed to many books and scientific articles on the subject of 9/11 and has made presentations around the U.S. and Canada. He has appeared on National Public Radio, Air America Radio, Pacifica Radio, C-SPAN Book TV, and Colorado Public Television. Here are a few of the chapter titles from the new book, Another 19, Investigating Legitimate 9/11 Suspects. Dick Don and Another 19. Carlucci, Armitage, and the Deep State. Louis Free and the FBI. George Tenet and the CIA. Ralph Eberhardt and NORAD. Bremer, Jenkins, and Terrorism Propaganda. And those are just a few of the very interesting chapters in this book. It's a really bold, provocative new book, and I encourage you to get a copy. And you can do that by going to Kevin Ryan's website, digwithin.net, and from there you can learn how to order the book. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.